Hello, good evening. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, broadcasting live from UBC, located on unceded Musqueam territory. I'm your host, Nina Panini, and this is Deliberate Noise. Today's show is all about a very special human being who goes by the name MGM. A visual journalist and fashion connoisseur, MGM's photography and artistic practice is very much influenced by her mixed cultural background. Palestinian, Australian, by way of Calgary, and based in Montreal. Luckily, our paths crossed here in Vancouver, and I'm thrilled to share this interview, where M gives us her take on the importance of radical self-expression, photography as a tool for documentation, the use of the camera as an anxiety mediator, and eventually overcoming that anxiety, and so much more. So please stay tuned for the interview with MGM. But before we get into it, I have a couple songs for you. First up here is Club Sofa, playing Saturday, March 12th at Redgate. This is Club Sofa with MELT on CITR 101.9 FM.
Years old.
Locals Gadfly with their self-titled track. Catch Gadfly playing Friday, March 11th at SBC. You're listening to Deliberate Noise on CITR 101.9 FM. It's time now for the feature presentation. Thank you, Emily, for sharing your magic with me. Here is my interview with MGEM on CITR. Hello, welcome. This is Deliberate Noise. I am Nina Panini, and I am joined by my special guest for the day, MGEM. Hey, Em.
Hello.
Welcome. So you've been on once before. You were on a couple weeks ago when I was talking with Cheyenne, because you're good buddies with Cheyenne.
That's very true.
And now you're back, and this episode is all about you.
Aww. So,
welcome.
Thank you.
So MGEM is an artist, a photographer, a fashion icon, and we're going to chat today about art and culture and music, all kinds of stuff. So welcome. Thank you. Let's get into it.
Let's go.
Let's just begin with talking about you and your art. What do you consider like the main core of your artistic like practice and expression?
Honestly, at this point, I would probably say fashion, which I wouldn't have said a long time ago. I would probably have said photography or maybe music, but I would say at this point, I could confidently say that the concept of self-expression and radical self-expression specifically is really what I'm about these days. And I guess that kind of can extend to photography and music, of course, but fashion has definitely been a very liberating part of my artistic expression.
I love that. Radical self-expression.
Yeah. I'm all about that.
How do you explain to people who think that fashion is like frivolous or a waste of time that like it's actually such a useful and important tool for self-expression and yeah, being yourself?
I guess I would probably tell people, I mean, I kind of was the same. I had that mentality back in the day. I was very I didn't really understand my relationship to fashion because I associated it with higher class and very inaccessible, superficial, that kind of thing. I didn't really see it as a way to express yourself because I was so focused on high fashion and high couture and how that's just very inaccessible to most people and most people can't relate to that, and it's just very much...
It is so inaccessible and expensive, and it's like, who is this even catering to?
No, totally. Yeah, exactly. So I always kind of brush it off, especially since, you know, back in the days when I would have this kind of mentality towards it, I didn't know how to express myself at all. I was figuring that out, because so much of how I've learned to express myself now is really me not caring about any kind of boundaries anymore. Whereas back when I was growing up, I did care about a lot of those things because I didn't really understand them the way that I do now. For example, I didn't really understand the way that you can gender bend with clothes so easily.
Mm-hmm.
I was always a bit of a tomboy back in the day, so I really clung on to that and kind of disregarded the feminine side of me that is also huge in me, but I didn't realize it at the time because I didn't want to associate myself with being girly or whatever it was, because that's how I understood fashion, and you know, I didn't want to focus on the superficial, which is how I understood it at the time. So once I kind of got over that and started picking pieces from things that actually I did think were really cool, I realized that I was actually a combination of all of these different kinds of styles and different kinds of ways to express myself. Like, even you look in my closet now, it is just a crazy mess of every possible thing.
I
yesterday just bought a crazy pink fully sequined dress from, shout out, Delirium Emporium. Go check them out. But, you know, today I got my cargo jeans and my baggy shirt, and which is, you know, nothing crazy, but it's contrast is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Really what it came down to, as I learned how to express myself more with my clothes and how I present myself and what kind of jewelry I wear and stuff, is it's how you're embellishing yourself. And that has no limit at all. And everybody has their own kind of niche thing, but for me, it's more important to focus on the idea of self-expression as opposed to fashion. For me specifically, I'm a big fashion nerd and I love all that stuff and it gets me going. But what I would really encourage for people that maybe don't think that they're fashionable people or whatever it is, it's like, it does not matter what you wear or how fashionable you are or what designer you're wearing or what not designer you're wearing. What's important is that you are doing you. That can mean anything. I most importantly learned this in my Burning Man experience, which I was so lucky to experience the year before the apocalypse started in 2019. And one of the 10 principles of Black Rock City is radical self-expression. So I'm using that term now because I think it's a really good, accurate term to use for how I approach fashion. But the reason I'm bringing it up as well is because a lot of people kind of understand Burning Man as a place where you kind of have a set festival look and you can literally go on Amazon and look up like Burning Man outfit or festival outfit. And it will be the same thing. It will be probably some feathers or some sequins of some sort, and it will have that specific festival-y kind of vibe to it. People kind of associate it with that, and that you need to dress crazy, and that you need to radically express yourself, which doesn't mean that you have to go hard with all these outfits. It just means you have to radically express yourself. You will show up to that place, and you got people that are naked, you got people that are covered in body paint, you got people like me, who were walking around in, like, gold pants and, like, you know, a bra with coins hanging off of it and, like, all this other stuff. And you got people who were straight up just wearing camping gear. There are people who look like they're just going for a hike, and that is absolutely fine because they are radically expressing themselves. Radically expressing yourself is just being true to your soul, whatever that is. It's not to fit any kind of superficial set way of doing things. I remember actually interviewing a friend of mine, shout out Alan, about this topic. I was doing a project in university about it, and so I called him up and some other friends that I met out there, because all of these people that I met out there had completely different ways of expressing themselves and related to fashion. And what was really interesting for me when I was doing my interviews with them was that Alan felt extremely liberated just wearing yoga pants. Because that's something that he never gets to do back home. And, you know, the topic of Burning Man is a whole other thing I could go into. But, you know, in a nutshell, it is an environment and a place where people can really radically express themselves and be themselves and be the person that they maybe are not able to be in what we call the default world. And that applies to many things. For example, for me, honestly, a big thing for me was being able to freely go topless and not be constantly sexualized and not be shamed for it and not have every single person staring at my chest. People, I was working the coffee bar at my camp topless, and believe it or not, everybody looked at me in the face. It was crazy.
That's so liberating.
It was very liberating. So just an example of like me going topless and having my boobs out and having it not be shameful and not be sexualized and just vibing and just doing your thing. That was so liberating for me, the same way as it was so liberating for Alan to wear yoga pants, because that's just something that he doesn't really get to do in his everyday life. And to him, it was like, I remember him saying something like, they're just so comfy and they can be like, they can have cool patterns on them. And there's nothing shameful about a man wearing tight yoga pants like that. But I guess where he comes from, maybe it's worse in LA or whatever. Just default world. It's not as accepted for dudes to walk around with yoga pants. So just that little thing was very much a statement for him, the same way that me going topless was, the same way that everybody else is, for the most part at least. There are very, very much questionable fashion choices that show up at that thing, but that's a whole other thing. But yeah, all to say, I just think that it took me a long time to really accept fashion as something that I was actually into and that I that did make me feel good. And that's ultimately what it came down to, was that it made me feel really good. Because there's something, for me specifically, like I'm giving you these examples of, it's different for everybody, but for me, it's really, really, really powerful to put on your best pair of heels and put on your best outfit and put on my gigantic winged eyeliner and strut the street. To me, that is, I'm at my top of my game right there. Like, you know, you're unstoppable. Which is, if anybody knows me, they know that I have a pretty strong obsession with John Fluvog, and who is a designer from here, from Vancouver, a shoe designer. And regardless of the actual shoes themselves and the designs, what really made me feel so good wearing John Fluvog shoes is the message that comes with them. It's truly about self-expression, and his designs are very unique and very weird often, and unconventional, and weird colors and weird patterns and weird heels. But the coolest people have worn them, and everybody that wears a pair of Fluvogs is probably a weirdo and has probably been ostracized at some point in their life and felt extremely liberated by putting on this incredible shoe. And that was exactly the same for me. And also, John Fluvog has a thing where there's little sayings or there's little notes that he will put on the sole of the shoe.
Like an inscription on the bottom of the shoe.
Right. Each shoe family will have a different one or whatever it is. For example, my first pair of Fluvogs was from the Queen of Prussia collection. And on the sole, it has a crown and it says, "Be the queen, guard your boundaries." And I'm sorry, like, it hits different when you're wearing a heel that says that on the bottom. Like, it's not any heel. It's not just putting on some boring pump from Aldo. No, 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 no. I am being the queen and I'm guarding my boundaries in my sick pair of Fluvogs. Because that's what Fluvog cares about, is radical self-expression and just doing you.
Yeah.
And not caring and doing whatever you want and wearing whatever crazy shoe you want. And actually, it was the slogan of the actual brand that really hooked me when I discovered John Fluvog in high school, which is that it's unique souls for unique souls.
Boom.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So, you know, John Fluvog is a niche thing for me specifically, but this is just an example of one thing that really changed me, because it does make a difference when you feel so good in the skin that you are in and the outfit that you are in. It doesn't matter what it is, as long as you feel that you are shining. That's all that matters. So
I think that's what it's all about. Like, we're all trying to get there, and you just have to do whatever you have to do to get there.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, and not care about what's trending.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, or what you're supposed to be wearing. Of course, we have a big privilege in the West of mostly being able to express ourselves. It's not necessarily the case everywhere. I've experienced that a bunch when I've traveled. I've traveled quite extensively over my life, which I'm very grateful for. And it has taught me a lot about how different societies and cultures operate. And, you know, self-expression is a really interesting thing that changes over every culture. For example, that's one thing I struggled a lot with when finding the way that I express myself, is growing up visiting my family in the Middle East quite extensively growing up. I cannot express myself nearly anywhere close to the way I can in the West, simply because of cultural things. You know, I have a very set way of dressing when I go there. It's usually jeans and a t-shirt, something that covers my curves, something that does not highlight my body, because it's very, you know, you can be very easily sexualized in that place. The patriarchy runs pretty strong over there. So it has been interesting experiencing that and experiencing different cultural norms and how it relates to how you express yourself and what you wear. So all to say, I think we are very, very blessed in a lot of ways. I think we're very cursed in the West in a lot of ways, but we are also very blessed to be able to express ourselves the way that we can in most cases. So while I am here, that is what I do. And I'm pretty known for it at this point. Which is pretty, like, you introduced me as a fashion icon, and I'm like, damn, she's not even wrong at this point. But I can say that at this point and be confident about myself at this point because I've gone through this process. I could not say that before. Even I was looking at some old pictures of me recently, I guess from high school maybe it was, and I was just like, damn, I was so boring. I dressed so boring. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I didn't know how to necessarily dress myself. It was that I was too afraid to.
Yeah.
I was way too scared of standing out in high school and, like, thinking that my personality and the way that I was enough of a standout, and that I didn't want to be known and more. I mean, I was also bullied and whatnot, so it was a reaction to wanting to just, like, fade away and not have anybody notice me. I wanted to kind of dress more boring, but I was obviously much more anxious and much more unhappy with myself. So, and you know, especially as a woman, femmes that are growing up in the femme body, like, we tend to have a lot of body issues all the time, because of how things are. And so that was also a big part of it, is not being comfortable with my body, not understanding how my body can exist in a non-sexualized way. That was another thing related to gender expression with clothing, is it's like, I really avoided the feminine because I didn't want to be sexualized. I went to the tomboy route in a lot of ways, because I didn't want that attention.
Yeah, it made things easier.
Way easier. Like, way easier. Which is the same, what I was bringing up with when I traveled to the Middle East, is I want to basically dress as masculine as I possibly can, because the unfortunate reality is the more feminine I dress, the more extremely sexualized and harassed I will be. Which is unfortunately the case in a lot of places. So,
yeah, unwanted attention.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, the unfortunate reality of it is that, I mean, even in the West, it's not unfamiliar to any femme that has grown up in a femme body that you're catcalled from since you're a child. You know, like, this stuff is very, it's around us pretty early, and that happened to me a lot. So I internalized and learned that I will be sexualized less and harassed less and catcalled less the less feminine I dress and the less feminine I am, really. So that's been a really important thing, is actually just, like, accepting that part of me does exist, and that now at this point in my life I can wear a sweet sequins dress. I didn't even mean to make that joke, and I did it. I can't wear all this crazy feminine stuff and my crazy high heels from John Fluvog and feel the exact same sense of satisfaction as I do when I'm dressed like a skater boy, you know?
You're tuned in to Deliberate Noise on CITR 101.9 FM. I am Nina Panini, and you've been listening to an interview with MGEM. That was local musician Ecstasy with the track I Walk This Earth All By Myself. This is Deliberate Noise on CITR 101.9 FM. This episode is dedicated to MGEM, who, by the way, if you would like more info about her and some of her photography, definitely check out this short documentary. It's called Not There, from 2019, directed by Mishkat Hafiz. A story of belonging which follows Emily's story as she connects to her Palestinian identity through photographs. Once again, that doc is called Not There. All right, back into part two of my interview with MGEM. She is just about to go into detail about using the camera as a mediator between her and the social world, and her recently overcoming that anxiety and getting in front of the camera.
Well, now I'm actually doing shoot tomorrow, but I'm the model. So actually what I'm trying to do more now is be in front of the camera, because I need to do that more.
And
really, as much as I love being behind the camera, and that it is one of my favorite things to do, and that it's something I think I'm actually really good at in a lot of ways, I also realized over time that that was a big anxiety mediator, hiding behind a camera, not being noticed. Hey, don't worry about me. I'm just going to be in the corner and taking some candid shots, pretend like I'm not here. Don't even stress about it, man. I'm not here, okay? I'm just going to lurk in the back behind my lens. The camera was a mediator between me and the social world, totally.
That's so relatable.
Yeah. I'll just say I still love what I have learned from it and everything that I'm continuing to learn to do with the camera and to use that medium and that format of documentation, really. I mean, that's really what I aim to do with my photography practice. For me, photography's always been a means to capture time, a point in time. It's not necessarily for aesthetic, though I have been dabbling in, you know, studio kind of fashion photography recently. But ultimately, what it always meant to me was, I mean, even just the way a camera works, you're capturing light through the lens, and that is being imprinted on a sensor for an instant. And then you know that once that image is captured, you have captured a specific moment in time that could otherwise never be captured again. Extremely important in the way that I would consider the way I do visual journalism, because for me, taking my camera every single place that I go travel and taking pictures of what's around me is documenting certain places at a certain point in time. Especially that was very important with my photography in Palestine. I did not expect everything to be so different every time I went, but it would be, you know, new settlements, new walls being put up, more colonial bullshit that's going on over there, lots of ethnic cleansing and such and so forth, and lots of different ways that they like to do that. It wasn't until over time, looking back on my pictures from those trips, that I realized, like, oh man, okay, that wasn't there before. This is there now. Blah, 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 blah. Looking at everything, and I'm like, I'm really happy I got this picture, because this might have been the last time that this specific time and place was captured in this way. So that's a really important thing for me, documenting what's around me. And that's why I really love to do candid photos of people. So one of my favorite things to do would be to go to shows and take photos of the crowd.
Mm.
You know, in their moment, they are dancing and having a sick time. Like, that's stuff that needs to be remembered, in my opinion. So as much as I actually now have a big appreciation for my approach to taking photos, I also acknowledge that it was a way for me to hide and to not be noticed. Even though, you know, it's hard not to be noticed when you have a giant DSLR in front of your face. But, you know, I made it work. I made myself hidden a lot of the time, because I was always going for candid. So I wanted to purposely not be noticed. I didn't want people to pose for me. I wanted to capture people when they didn't know, which has been hard, because that is a really hard thing to do in terms of, like, it's a fine line with consent.
True.
Usually what I would do, what I learned to do over time, was to take the candid photo and then afterwards be like, hey, I got this photo of you. Is this okay? That's kind of a way to deal with it. But really, it was a way for me to hide and like, hey, don't worry about me. I'm just a photographer. I'm a fly on the wall. Don't worry about it. And never, ever, ever had the guts to go in front of the camera. But now that is changing.
Woo!
And I happen to connect with another really awesome local photographer who I'm going to do a shoot with tomorrow. And I'm going to be in front of the camera. And he's really good. He is super talented. Shout out, David. And
you're going to shine.
I think I will, actually.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you, Nina. I am really stoked to be getting in front of the camera more.
Yeah, it's time. We need M.
Mm-hmm.
And photos of M.
Thank you. Yes.
Shining.
Well, that's the thing, too, that I realized. I'm like, I have thousands of photos of other
people.
And yet, and I look back on them and I'm like, oh my god, this person looked this way back in the day, or like, oh, that was such a nice moment. And then I'm going through everything and I'm like, there's not a single photo of me.
Where the heck am I? Totally.
And everyone will be like, where were you? And I'm like, well, I was taking the photo, man. Like, I can't be in it. Like, it's not how that works. But so me appreciating what it was like to you know, sort of document the growth of other people made me realize, like, I need to be documenting myself, too. Because every once in a while, I would come across an old photo of myself, and I'm like, whoa, throwback. Or, like, you know, it'll be one or the other. It'll be like, damn, that outfit sucked. Or it'll be like, whoa, that outfit was bomb. Damn, I was, like, doing well, actually. Like, good on you, Past
Emily.
Whichever
one it is, you're still glad that, like, you have the documentation and you can look back and, like...
Exactly.
Whether it's good nostalgia or bad nostalgia, it's nice to have it.
Exactly. It's not because of capturing it in the moment, necessarily. It's about capturing that moment and looking back on that moment later and being able to appreciate it over time. So that's also related to when I find old photos of myself, I'm like, whoa, I can look at that so differently now because of the time that has passed.
Because life is about changing and growing and evolving and
absolutely
figuring yourself out.
And it's so much, it's a, you know, healed me in a lot of ways because you look back on that moment in yourself and you're like, whoa, I was like, I was not doing good with myself or whatever it was. And then you look back and you're like, damn, that if that version of me could see me now, they would be so stoked.
So stoked.
Like, that's how I know I have to remind myself a lot that I've done okay, is because I know my child self would be in complete disbelief of where I'm at now. And
in
the kind of stuff I'm wearing.
Yeah.
And very proud. And somebody, I'm now somebody that my child self would have looked up to, which to me is successful.
That's the goal.
And I can hopefully continue to do so. And hopefully I will revisit this interview in years and years and be even more on top. And who knows where I'll be at that point. But I will look back on this and I'll be like, the Emily that was being interviewed by Nina Panini would be very stoked right now. It's all about time passing. And for me, photos is capturing that time and being able to have that that ability to look back on something and to reflect on it.
Wow. Incredible. You've been listening to Deliberate Noise, a special interview with Nina Panini and MJM. Where can we find you if we want to find out more about you and creep you on social media?
Ooh, that's going to be hard because, like, I hate social media with a pretty big passion at this point. It's very toxic, and I highly encourage anybody to get off of it, frankly. However, my account is still currently active. So if you would like to find my Instagram, it is visualgems. That is visual_gems. And my logo is this really cool EG in the shape of a gem with some cool pink and orange colors on a black background. Shout out Ruby Izat, who did that for me. She is such a beautiful person and beautiful artist. And
Ruby is also a gem.
Yes. Yes. That is damn right. Ruby Gem is a ruby gem, and yes, she so kindly and creatively did that logo for me, so give her some love as well. Shout out Rudy, that's her band.
I don't know if anyone can tell that, like, everyone on this show is very connected.
It's very incestuous in Vancouver.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
No, I'm...
Shout out Rudy.
I'm just continuing that incestuous with interviewing all the friends. Okay, I'll shut up.
It's all good. It's all good.
Thanks so much for joining me. I just have one last question.
What's up?
What is, like, one of the things that makes you the most happy? Like, what's your happiest moments? Where do you find the most joy? Sorry, it's kind of a heavy, kind of intense.
I mean, a little intense, but also just a really hard question.
Mm.
I mean, not to sound really sad, but that's actually, like, a hard thing for me to think about, because I don't know, last time I was, like, super, super happy, but,
Fuck, true. COVID times.
I mean, yeah, the apocalypse, what, we're going into the third year right now, like, it's been kind of whack. So I'm trying to think of, like, in the before times. Because I think happiness for me is very relative, to be honest, pre and post pandemic, or pre and during a pandemic, because it's not quite post yet. I mean, I guess I would go with my gut answer, which would be a nice full circle for this interview, which is just fashion. There is nothing I love more than dressing up to go to my job, at Shout Out Rewind Resale on Main Street in Kingsway. I'm there on Sundays and sometimes Fridays if you want to see my sick outfits and my sick flu vlogs in person, which if I were you, I would want to do. but I'll just say, there is nothing that makes me feel better than, like, starting my day being like, all right, what outfit am I going to wear today at work? Because the privilege I have at my job is I can basically dress as extra as I want, which I don't really get to do in a lot of places. So really these days what's really making me feel really great about myself is being able to just wear the most crazy things or the most non-crazy things. Sometimes I'm like, nah, I don't want to actually spend my entire shift wearing like 6-inch heels. Like, I'm just going to pull up in my Converse and my yoga Adore pants. Delano shirt. Yeah. Yes. Shout out Alan with the yoga pants. Yes. Tough question, but these days, fashion is really my passion.
Woo! And that's a great answer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would might be an easier question to answer, like, maybe a year from now when, like, maybe things will have chilled out. Maybe the apocalypse.
Do I sense is the optimism?
Oh, well, maybe a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't have that. But you know, we're stepping into year three here.
I think we're allowed to be a little optimistic if we want. Sometimes,
yes,
it's okay. We don't have to be pessimistic all the time.
Like, really, I think. But if you would ask me that pre-pandemic, I would have been like traveling 100%.
Traveling.
Like, just traveling, mm-hmm. doing my thing. I just love, like, meeting weird people, going to weird places that, like if the least touristy, the better kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The least beaten path as possible. Windsor was a really nice experience for that. For example, did you know that Windsor, in Windsor, where my cousin lives, the neighborhood is called Sandwich Town. Like, that's so good.
Are paninis welcome there?
You know it. You absolutely know it. And in fact, in my last night visiting her, she took me to the pub and I had a sandwich on Sandwich Street. And that was really special. And I don't think I could have done that really anywhere else. So
I don't think we can top that. I think we have to cut it right now. That was
there
perfect.
You go. Sandwiches all around. Nina Panini.
This has been Nina Panini featuring an interview with my special guest of the day, MGM, photographer, fashion icon, amazing friend, just all around fantastic person. Aww. I'm so glad you joined me today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nina Panini. You rock.
And we will talk again very soon.
And thanks for listening, everybody. See you around.
See you around.
Huge shout out to MGM. I'll put links to her social media and the doc about her in the episode description for this show. You can re-listen to the podcast anytime at citr.ca. Just search for Deliberate Noise. Thanks so much for tuning in. Tune in again next Monday at 5 for more Deliberate Noise. Stay tuned to CITR for more awesome local content. This last song is off of I Am the Land, the latest album from TJ Felix. This song is called Trauma, Trauma, Traumatized on CITR 101.9 FM.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate, you remember Pilate from the New Testament?
Pontius Pilate, he fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on CITR.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.